Okay, Parshas Kiseitze. Rabbeinu Bachai begins the Parsha with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perkhav Gimel Pasuk Chavav, that says, Tana Vini Libcha Li, Ve'enachan Drachai Titorna, that my son, give your heart to me, and your eyes, my ways should watch. So Rabbeinu Bachai explains this, kind of like it's as if to put the comma after Ve'enacha. Tana Vini Libcha Li, Ve'enacha. As if Shlomo is saying, Hashem says, give me your heart and your eyes. Why do you have to give Hashem your heart and your eyes? Because those are the parts of the body that lead a person to sin, the heart and the eyes. The eyes see something, the heart desires it, and then the person does it. So it's a way of saying that all your taivas should be subjugated to Hashem, to be meshubet to Hashem. And therefore, give them all to Hashem. So any time, if you desire something, if you have a taiva for something in whatever way, you should not indulge that taiva at all, unless it helps you to do your avodas Hashem. In other words, all your taivas, a person can enjoy things, just has to be laman Hashem. So, as he's going to discuss a little shortly. But anyway, this is telling a person to stay away from taivas that are not l'shem Hashem, and certainly znus. The Torah was super anti-znus, as he says, Matzinu Sharchika Torah Od Midas. Znus is very extreme. It wants you to stay very far away from znus. And what does that have to do with our parsha? Therefore, the Torah only mattered, allowed a Yafas Toar after the whole story. And that's how our parsha begins, the story of the Yafas Toar, which is when you go to battle, and if a person will find, a man finds a lady that he is interested in, not a Jew. And so he can be Baaleha, be a Rishona. But after that, he has to do a whole process to her. She has to let her hair, everything, not cut her hair and grow her nails long. I'm sorry, not cut her nail, the opposite. Yes, cut her hair. Totally cut her hair off, let her nails grow long, and sits for a month. And basically, she becomes ugly to you, and then you see if you're still interested. Rabbeinu Bachai, the Chazal used the lashon of Dibra Torah Ela Kenegad Yetzarah, meaning the Torah, it sounds like the Torah is not so interested in you marrying a Yafas Toar. That sounds like that is clear from Chazal, that Torah is not really interested in you marrying a Yafas Toar. And therefore, the only reason the Torah allowed if the story of a Yafas Toar, that you could be Baaleha at all, and this is, it's any lady really, period, any lady the person finds at war, married, not married, doesn't matter. The heter is because the dibra Torah k'negad yetzarah, because the Torah knows that war may not be able to control yourself. So it gives the heter, but it's not happy about this heter. It frowns on it and says, by the way, if you end up doing this and marrying this lady, you're likely to have a ben sora mora, a kid will go be a bad kid. Why does the Torah not like this? Because the geirus that this Yafas Torah will have to go through is not your standard geiris. This is not a lady who wanted to become Jewish because she's so interested, right? This is a geiris mishamora, and therefore that's not a real geiris. It's not usually a real geiris. Here it counts as a geiris, but it's not usually the way geiris is supposed to happen. Here it's mishamora. Therefore, the kid will likely not go in the right path. So the Torah is frowning on this whole idea. The idea of becoming a ger for not the right reasons, Rabbeinu Bachai digresses that they talk about a little bit, that is why they weren't mekabel gerim in the times of David and Shlomo, because the gerim in their days were coming for, because things were so good for the Yidden then. So that's why gerim were coming then. So they weren't mekabel gerim in that day, in those days. And Rabbeinu Bachai clarifies, what does that mean, they weren't mekabel them? So he quotes the Rambam, and Chassisuri Bia, it's Perikid Gimel Halacha Tesvav, that they were Mekabel Gerim in times of Davin Shlomo, just not completely. In other words, there were plenty of Gerim. Shlomo was married to Basparo. There were Gerim in the times of Davin and Shlomo, just they weren't Mekabel, meaning the Rambam says the Beis Din of Hedyotos would be Megayer them, but the Beis Din HaGadol did not 100% treat them 100% like Jews, until they checked out that they were really sincere. But anyway, the point is that a geirus that is not sincere is not what we're looking for. Kol Shekein, we don't do what the other
other umos do. I'm not looking to, throughout history there were forced conversions from other religions. That was never a Jewish way. Not only don't we force people to convert, we're always trying to convince people otherwise. But anyway, here, the point here is that if someone was Nisgayer, Mipnei Mora, so then things won't come good from that. They'll have a Ben Sarah Mora. Rabbi Nachman also says that this is a remez, this whole story of the Eishes Yifas Torah is a remez to the Yetzirah. And that's the Lashon of Chazal, of Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzirah. The Torah was talking Keneged Yetzirah. That's a hint to tell you this whole story is a remez, that the Eishes Yifas Torah is a remez to the Yetzirah. So therefore, in other words, if the Yetzirah comes like the Eishes Yifas Torah with all kinds of taivas, so you have to weaken it. That's the cut her hair. Meaning, because we know, like from Shimshon, the hair is the strength, so you cut off all her hair. And he says, you're Megaleach. She has to grow her nails. He says that's a hint to Adam Arishon. You should be, who was covered in nail, right? According to some Midrashim. You should remember Adam's Mila, meaning Adam before he sinned, was covered in nail, according to some. So you should remember, and that's a hint to remember Adam, and he didn't have the Yitzhar as a part of him. And then she should take off Simla Shivya, she should take off her beautiful clothes that she was wearing, meaning get away the taivas from the Yitzhar. Don't go after them at all. And Vyashva Beisecha, but she lives in your house, meaning you have to keep taivas for yourself too, you need it as part of life. But just only for in your house, meaning only to do Ratzon Hashem. For the Yitzhara's own reasons. That's the only reason you use type. Okay, next. So the story of the Ben Sarah Amora, we know it's pretty famous. Chazal say that it never happened. Well, Chazal say, according to one, it never happened. According to another, he says some other Amora said it did happen, but what he meant by it did happen is not clear. But it's come out impossible to happen. There's too many details. And it's all, the whole story of the Ben Sarah Amora is just that we should learn from it. So what exactly are we supposed to learn from it? Well, someone who's supposed to be a Ben Sarah Amora, that means that they stole from their dad, and then they were brought to Beis Din and got Malkus. They steal from dad again, and they buy wine and food, and the kind of wine and food they have to be eating to be a Ben Sarah Amora has to be like half-cooked wine and not, wine that was not... Mazug, meaning someone who stuffed it in their face, like a real Baal Taiva. And it has to be that he stole it from dad. And all these things are to make it that the person is what we would call today addicted. Meaning, like, everything is like, it's from dad, so he can keep on doing it. He didn't steal from a guy on the street, it's not so easy. He can steal from his parents' house, a lot easier. He steals from dad, and he eats food and wine that a person can get after. And he eats it half cooked, and in other words, all done with, like, total no control. So, sounds to me, anyway, like that's the way of saying person's addicted. And that's why it's Yom HaZakeh V'al Yom HaZchayev. But Rabbi Nachman says the thing we're supposed to learn from it is that since the parents are the one that bring him to Beis Din and say he's got to get killed. In other words, you would think a parent would never do that. But it's the Yad, the parents have to be, he says the parents have to have more Avas Hashem than they do Avas their children. Meaning the child has to be doing the Ratzon Hashem. And the love of Hashem has to be more than anything. And if the Torah says that this person is a Ben Sarah Amora and they have to be killed or else they'll end up being worse, then the parents have to do it. Again, this has never happened in history, according to at least one Mandamer, maybe according to everybody, in the real sense, like the real official Ben Sarah Amora. But either way, it's to be Joshua Kalbuschar that Abbas Hashem is above all. And again, others have said, also that it's, don't let people get addicted because they'll end up, like Chazal say here, being melastim is ebrius. Anyway, after skila, we're talking about skila, then it says don't let a person who after skila, after they get hung, don't leave it there. Ki kilas elakim talui, because it's the kilas elakim is hanging. And why is that? Because a person had this happen to them because they were ovid of Avodah Zarah. That's why this happened. And therefore, or they cursed Hashem. Therefore, that's where they're being hung. So, you don't want that hanging up there, people talking about that. Secondly, it's from the Lashon of light, like Lani Mizroi, that Hashem's not happy when a person sins. And Ibn Ezra says something like Kabbalistic, that if you leave someone hanging, this is again someone who was killed, by Beis Din, and they're hung up. You don't let them hang too long. The reason is because there's a klala davu karov lenitle. There's some kind of curse near the nitle, so you want to take it away. Interesting. Okay, then we have the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. This is absolutely fascinating. So the mitzvah, the pasuk says, "Hashev teshivim losucha lehisalim." You have to, if you see a lost object, you have to return it to the owner. You cannot ignore it. You can't pretend you didn't see it. So, Rabbeinu Bachai says this is not limited to Hashavas Aveda. It doesn't just mean if you see your friend's backpack, you can't pretend you didn't notice it. You have to return it to them. This is about any problem your friend has. Whoa, right? He says if you see your friend has a problem, a nezek is coming to them, or they need help, you have to help them. Losucha le'asalim, you can't ignore it. Can't pretend you didn't notice. You have to do your best to help everyone. That's what we learn from Hashavas Aveda. If someone is going to be hurt by something, help them out. You can't ignore it. Now, I don't know if he means that anytime you saw somebody, something bad might happen to someone, that they're over a lav, officially. But that's certainly, he's saying, that's what you learn from this idea, at the very least. That this is about all things to help your friend. You have to help out your friend, you can't ignore them. And then, he says, this is not just the way it sounds, that you have to help out your friend and return an Aveda to someone who lost it. He says this is also a remez to Tchias HaMesim, where Hashem will be Meshiv Aveda Labailim and return the Neshama. That is, it's a hint to Tchias HaMesim. And then, if I understood this correctly, you can look it up yourself, it sounds like he says, who does it get returned to? What does that mean? Well, Rabbeinu Bachai, as we'll talk about later in this week's Parsha, has mentioned many times about the idea of a Gilgal. Right, one neshama comes into many guf, like there's a person lives in one body, and they die, and then they come back later on in history as another body, because they did averus that they need a tikkun for, or whatever the story is. There's a thing called the Gilgal, where the same neshama comes back multiple times in history in different bodies. Okay, so when there's Tchias HaMesim, which body does he go back in? Who knows? But the Rabbeinu Bachai sounds like he's mesopic. He first says it goes into the first one, the first person. Then he sounds like he's mesopic. Maybe it goes into the last one. Or he says perhaps it's like a candle. A candle you could split up into a million things. It's the same candle. It's almost like cloning it. You know, it's the same. You could split the neshama into many different bodies, in which case the neshama would go into every body that it lived in. Or he suggests perhaps all the gufim somehow mushed together into one. But just the fact that the question was discussed was interesting. Okay, so I guess we'll see. Lasse Lovo, hopefully. By Kirby, I mean, hopefully. That's what I mean. Okay, then we have Loye Kli Zayin Alisha. I'm sorry, Loye Kli Gever Alisha, which, as Rabbeinu Bachai explains, Loye Kli Zayin Alisha. So it's from a Sifri, that there should not be Kli Zayin Alisha weapons. Women shouldn't carry weapons. Why? Kadesh Lo Teitzi L'Machama, so she shouldn't go out to war. V'yesiblos nos, and that'll cause nos. Okay, so does that Isser still apply today? I don't know, probably it depends who you ask. If it's normal for a lady to carry a weapon, one could have argued that the Isser maybe shouldn't have applied, but it says here, the Sifri specifically mentions Kli Zayin, and because it'll cause a lady to go to war and cause nus. Anyway, that's the Isser of Lo Yeh Kli Gever Al Isha. He also mentions, Chazal say Yael killed Sisera with that peg instead of a knife for that reason, because not supposed to use a weapon. I think Rav Moshe is true about this. Anyway, next, then we have the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. There's a lot of mitzvahs in this week's parsha. It's the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. And so the Rabbeinu Bachai explains the reasoning is that we don't want to look like we're destroying the whole min. It does sound like that would be something you can't do, actually, to destroy an entire species. We're allowed to, kill animals for our use, but not to destroy an entire species. Anyway, we don't want to look like we're destroying a species over here, and therefore that's why he says you don't do, you're not lokeach ha'im al habanim. The Rambam writes that the reason is so that the mom shouldn't have tzar, which is a famous machlokas Rambam and Rabban about tzar balei chayim, but Rambam writes that so the mother bird should not be in pain seeing you taking her eggs. That's the Rambam. Al pi Kabbalah, it's actually the opposite. In other words, according to the Rambam, it's a way of rachamim, which is Rabbeinu Bechai says in that in the Pasha Pshat, that shiluach hakein is rachamim. It's Hashem having mercy on the mother bird, that you send the mother bird away before you take the eggs. Okay, we know, even though the Rabbeinu Bechai doesn't mention this, there's the famous Mishnah that says, whoever says al kan tipa yagir rachamech yir mishatskin or something like that, whoever says that Hashem's the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is because of rachamim, tell him to be quiet. Because they're only just xeros of Hashem. So that would make this a chok. It could also be, though, that it also shows Rachmanus. Anyway, api kabel, it's the opposite. It's because it causes the bird so much tsar. That's, the mitzvah is like this, he explains. This is based on Zohar, and I think it's called api kabel. That when the when you send the mother away, it goes bananas. It gets so upset. Because it sees you taking the eggs away, that's the assumption here, or at least it knows that it's taken away. It gets so upset, and then the Sar HaOfos, the Kochin Shemayim, damens to Hashem to have Rachmanus, and therefore, and that causes Rachmanus to come down, and it goes on the whole world. So that's why it causes good. That's why it ends up being a mitzvah. Nafgaminina being, between these two things, is there a reason to do this mitzvah if you're not in the mood? Let's say you don't. Typically nowadays, right, if some robin makes a nest in your porch, is there's a mitzvah to do shiluach hakein, everybody's so excited to do the mitzvah. But look, if the point is to show, to have rachmanus on the mother, so you could have argued, what's the point? If you're not interested in the eggs, like today, I don't know, we don't eat robins anyway, you're not interested in the robin eggs, you're trying to do the mitzvah, so... You know, what's the point? You're doing the mitzvah, of course, but I mean, you wouldn't have a chiv, let's put it that way. You wouldn't have a chiv to do the mitzvah of shiluach hakein if you weren't interested in taking the eggs. However, if doing the mitzvah causes all this rachmanas to come down to the Jewish people, so then that would be a mitzvah to do it. You know, like even if we weren't interested in the eggs, to do this mitzvah. Okay. And that's, I believe the Aruch Shulchan says that it's a chiv to do it. It's a bitul asei to see a hakein and not do shiluach hakein. That would fit better with this Zohar. Rabbeinu Bechai also mentions that the reason there's no bracha on shiluach hakein is because, he says, you're not mechoyev to do it. You don't have to go looking for a cane to do shiluach hakein on. It's a mitzvah that by definition is only if it happens. If you happen upon a cane, then you do it. But it's not something you need to do. So any mitzvah that there's no, Torah never says go out and do it, there's no bracha. This is based on the Rashba, which says this idea that there's not going to be a bracha on returning a stolen item, because these are all things that don't need to happen. In that case, it's better it wouldn't have happened that you stole. But any mitzvah that doesn't have to happen, there's not going to be a bracha on. Okay. Next, we have Lo Sachrosh Shor V'chamor. You should not plow with an ox and a donkey together. That's Kilayim, so the way Rabbeinu Bechai explains it, it's because you might come to Kilayim, meaning you might come to make them mate together, the Shor and the Chamor. Which is just an interesting idea, which is that would mean the Isser of Losach or Shor v'Chamor is lest you come to do a different Isser of Harva'ah, of having them mate together. Which is almost like Xer Lexer, which not all Rishonim agree. I don't mean that the Rabbanim version of that. I mean, it's that idea, having that there's an Isser Daraisa to protect you from a different Isser Daraisa, that's a Machlokes Rishonim, whether there is such a thing. But that's the way Rabbeinu Bechai explains this, that it would be, it's a gzeira, lest, you know, the Torah doesn't want you to plow with them because you might come to be marbi of them. Then we have the law of Nishmarta Mikol Dovara. Be careful from Kol Dovara. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that refers to two things, Arayos and Lashon Hara. Those are both Ra, known as Ra, Arayos and Lashon Hara. Why? We know, he doesn't say this, I'm telling you this, that there's a bris to two different things, a bris krusala fosayim and the bris mila. Right? Those two brises are always connected. The bris hapeh and the bris, like the regular bris mila. Then we know there's a bris krusama fosayim, so if, like, certainly if a tzaddik says something, it's going to happen. Shem, like we say in the Gemara, kishkaga shiyatza milifnei ashalat. If a tzaddik says something, Hashem makes it happen because it's a bris krusel es fasayim. And the bris hamila. So those things are always connected. It's called a dover. So they're both included in ra, lashon hara, and arayos. Okay. Just as an aside, I heard once from Nachum Lansky that the reason Yosef spoke Lashon Hara ended up being with getting sent down to Eshes Potiphera is because those two things, he spoke Lashon Hara and ended up with his nus issue. Because the two brises are the same. The same thing Yehoshua, when he sent the spies against Jericho, right? So Rachav Hazona, he said Rachav Hazona, all the spiritual battle for Eretz Yisrael was all in Rachav Hazona. Like she was the source of all Tumah. The Tumah that was in Eretz Yisrael and that she had been brought to the Tzad Kedusha. So she was the Rachav Hazona. And who do you send against the Zona? Well, he sent Pinchas and Kalev. So Pinchas, you understand, Pinchas has a proven track record for nos issues. You know, the opposite of Znus. But what about Kalev? What's Kalev? Kalev's only known for not speaking Lashon Hara. Oh, that's the point. Exactly. Against Lashon Hara, against Znus, you could send Lashon Hara. Those two are always connected. Okay, that's my own side point. Next, he mentions V'yasei Tiyelecha L'Zinacha, that there's the details of going to the bathroom in Machne Yisrael, the halachas of that. And he brings the Gemara in Yuma that when they would go to the bathroom, Heum Nifnim L'Acharehen, because the Anani HaKavod surrounded the Jewish people and went outside of them. In other words, surrounded, so that means then it goes a little out in the front and on the sides, but it was not behind them. It just went to the back and not past them. So that's why they're in Nifnim L'Acharehen. Just an interesting thing about the Anani HaKavod. They did not go, they weren't behind the Jews. They were just covered them and went a little out to the left, right, and front. Okay. One more thing about Neshech. It talks about ribbis. He just mentions that it's called Neshech because just like a bite from a snake goes, the poison goes into the body. So too, not what you would expect. The Isser of ribbis goes into the one who lends ribbis. It goes into their money. Sounds like destroys their money. Okay, anyway, then we have, this idea you find throughout Chumash that whenever one concept is mentioned in one parsha, tends to come up a couple times. So we have here Alkelia Chalosite, that the person who's working the field, you hire a worker, so he's allowed to eat the fruit he's working on, but he can't put it in his basket to take home. So what is this? The Rebbeinu B'chai says this is the same L'dibri Torah L'Kenega Yitzhar. It doesn't use those words, but it's that idea that if the Torah wouldn't matter the guy to do it beheter, he'd do it be'ezer. Because he's working, he's hot, he's working with food all day, and he's starving, and he's working out there in the fields. If you don't let him eat what he's working on, he's going to eat it anyway. So this way, the Torah gave you a way to do it beheter. You can't put it in your basket, but you can eat it while you work. So it's a similar idea to what we, the HSFAS Torah at the beginning of the Parsha. Then we have the idea of divorce mentioned here. It's Kasav La Sefer Krisus. Marriage and divorce, but specifically about divorce. The person writes a get. So he says, why is it that Hashem made it that when a couple wants to get divorced, the way to separate them is through a piece of paper and words? Something to think about on its own without his answer. But his answer is that it's a remez to the world was created with Al Yidei Osios, through the Osios HaTorah. And that's how everything was put together. And therefore, when a couple is separated, it has to be separated through words because it's a remez to remind you that that's how things were put together to start with. So they're being separated with words. That's what he says. Okay, then we have the idea that if you lend someone money and now they haven't paid and you're coming to take a collateral from them, you now let it go inside their house. The lova has to, the borrower has to come and bring you out the mashka. In other words, you lend someone money, they're not paying, so you come after the loan is due. You can't go in their house and say, okay, well, I'm taking your stereo as collateral. They have to bring it out to you. By contrast, if it's a guarantor, an arev, a guarantor, you are allowed to go into his house. Someone guarantees the loan. That guy, you are allowed to go into his house to take a stereo as collateral. Now, what's the difference? So he says, Rebbe Mechai says, since the love went into the loan because of docha, because he was so poor, the arev became an arev, Machmas Shefa, because he was so rich. That's why he agreed to be a guarantor. So therefore, for the Lova, Hashem had more Rachmanis on him, that you don't let someone embarrass him by going through his stuff to take something from him. Whereas by the guarantor, he's not as embarrassed. And therefore, you can't go into his house and take stuff. The Torah doesn't have as much Rachmanis on him because he wasn't as poor. Then we have another fascinating thing. There's a thing that there's a chiyuv to give peah from a tree. We learn this from the words lo sefa'er acharecha, by an olive tree, lo sefa'er acharecha, which means leave peah from your olive tree, leave peah from a tree. But he quotes a fascinating medrash that says lo sefa'er acharecha means when you do the mitzvah of chesed, you're giving tzedakah, like peah is tzedakah for any. When you do the mitzvah of peah, or any tzedakah, any chesed, lo sefa'er acharecha. You don't have to make it a pe'er for you. Like, go make sure everybody knows that you did this mitzvah. Hey, look, you know, I just want everybody to know that I did this project, I did this chesed. Keep it to yourself. You don't need to advertise your chesed. I mean, I suppose if it helps people, come to do it themselves, and that's probably similar to the Tshuva Sarashba, who says that you can put up plaques for people to donate to make it that other people want to donate. But certainly, as far as you're concerned, if you do a chesed, it's not something you should go making sure everybody knows. Okay, then we have the idea of malchus. A person gets malchus, kedei rishasa b'mispar, right? A person gets 39 lashes. So Rabbein Abchai asks, where does that number 39 come from? And furthermore, it seems in Shemayim they give 60, because there's a story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that it wasn't... Rabbi found out from Eliyahu HaNavi that there were Rabbi Chiya and his sons, if they would daven, Hashem would listen to whatever they said. So Rabbi made a fast day and got Rabbi Chiya and his sons to be the Shliach Tzibor. And they said, Mashavaruch, Mered Agashem, as soon as they said it, it started raining. And they were about to say the words, Mechayim Esimata, and then in Shemayim there was this big, hey, wait, hold on. Who told Rabbi that if Reb Chiya and his sons would daven, stuff would happen? And they said, oh, it was Eliyahu. So they whipped Eliyahu with 60 lashes. So it sounds like in Shemayim, they get Malchus is 60 lashes, and on earth it's 39. Why is that difference? So Rabbeinu Bechai explains, because on earth, when does Beis Din Shalmata, Beis Din on earth, people, when does Beis Din give out Malchus? When a person turns 13. Right before 13, you don't get Malchus. You only get Malchus after you're 13. And in Shemayim, when do they give Malchus? I mean, when is a person responsible in Dinei Shemayim? Only when the person reaches 20. Like we saw by the story of the Meraglim. There was people only people below 20 didn't get punished. In Shemayim, they only punish if you're 20 years old. Okay, so 13, he doesn't explain the reason, but apparently the lashes are 13, or 3 times that. So 13 times 3 is 39. Whereas in Shemayim, they don someone at 20. 20 times 3 is 60. That's the difference. It's an interesting thing. He also says that someone who gets Malchus gets rid of their kares. So, you know, if someone had kares and then neshama would be destroyed, if they get Malchus, they get it back. So that's the number Lamites is the gematria of Tal. They get the Tal of Tchias HaMesim. And also a fascinating gematria, it says don't whip him more than that, because otherwise it'll be a Maka Rabba. So he says the gematria of Rabba is 207, which is the amount we know the 365 Losas is in the Torah. You don't get Malchus for each one. There are many exceptions to different lav. Let's tell you lav shein bo maisa. Many lavin in the Torah you don't get Malchus for. How many lavin in the Torah of the 365? How many do you get Malchus for? 207. And that's the remez in the Makkah Rabba, that there's a Makkah for Rabba for 207 of them. Then we have the idea of Yibum. So Yibum, it says, Yakum al shem achiv hames. The dead guy will be Yakum al shem achiv hames. And chalitz is if the person doesn't want to do yibum, so then the woman takes off his shoe and spits in front of him. So the Rabbeinu Bechai explains that the reason why, well, the pashup shot is that the person that we assume the brother who died would rather someone in the family marry his wife since he has no children. This way, his money will stay in the family. So this way, his wife, a brother marries his wife, then everything stays in the family. And chalitza, when a person's in mourning, they take off their shoes. So had the brother done yibum, it would be like the dead guy never died, because he'd live through the child. But now that he's not willing to do yibum, so she takes off his shoe as if to show, now you're in mourning. He also adds al pi kabbalah, when a person does yibum, the neshama of the brother who died goes into the child that is born. And that is Yokam Hashem Achiv Hameis. It means the person, the neshama, will become a Gilgal and go into the child of that marriage. And he says that the soul likes to be a Gilgal in its own family. And he says that's why if it's Eishes Achav Shelo Hayu Balamo, if the brother who died never knew the brother who's going to do Yibam, they weren't alive at the same time, then there's no din of Yibam, because he doesn't even know him. So it's apparently some thing the neshama is happier when it becomes a Gilgal and stays in the same family. So I understand that the Gilgal is not going into the live brother, it's going into the new kid, but there's no mitzvah of Yibam unless he's going to be part of the family, I guess, that he knows, because that's where the neshama wants to be. He wants to become a Gilgal in there. And he says, while he's on the subject, this is this idea of a Gilgal, like we had mentioned earlier, is their explanation of Tzadik V'Ra'lo Rosh V'Tovlo. Why does good people have bad things, bad people have good things? Because a person has lived many, many lives. And based on what they did in other lives, that may determine what's happening to them in this life. Okay, but it'll all be worked out in the end. Lastly, we have Amalek. And he says, interesting, the word Amalek, I think we all know from Purim plenty of things what Amalek stands for, but I don't remember this one. He says Amalek stands for Am Lakak, that it's the nation that likes lapping up the blood of Jews like a dog. That's Amalek. And another medrash, it's like a zvuv, like a fly that loves to go to a place where there's a makkah. That's Amalek. And he ends off that Amalek will eventually fall into the hands of the children of Rachel, which means someone from Shevet Yosef or Binyamin. And that's what has happened, always in history. It's been, there was Mordechai, who was from Binyamin. Right? Anybody who had an interaction with Amalek to destroy them was either from Yosef or Binyamin. And Lasalavo, that's who Amalek will fall to, the children of Rachel. And he quotes at the end, the pasuk that Rashi quotes in B'Shalach, that once Amalek is destroyed, Tamu Charvas Anatzach, and it says Avad Zichram, that when Amalek, this is a Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, when Amalek is completely wiped out, then two Pesukim later says V'Hashem La'olam Yeshev, Koning the Mishpat Kiso, then it'll be Hashem Shalim, V'Hakisei Shalim, then Hashem's name will be full again, and his Kisei will be full again. And we should all be zochah to see that.